All right, Jason, this is episode 2 of our 2025 predictions look back. If you didn't, please go watch the previous episode to this one where we went through the first 12. And this time we're going to go through the next 9 and we'll finish those up. So shall we get into it?
I think we did pretty well in the first 12.
Let's see how we do in the second half. I think we did. I think a couple cases we were kind to ourselves and we modified our prediction a little. Say, well, I said this, but I meant that. But I think we did fine. Let's see how we do on the next 9. So the first one, blockchain finds its second killer app. And this is involving level 3 and level 4 AI.
I'm going to give us an X. I probably give myself an X on that. We're not there yet. We're just not. I don't think blockchain has been used there yet. I think people are still struggling to really implement AI with a lot of value. Mm. I think people are waiting until MCP settles itself out, better authenticators, better handle on AI, agentic AI identities. So we're just not far enough ahead in terms of people consuming the technology. Once that happens, maybe that'll happen, but it didn't happen in 2025.
All right, I agree. I think that's correct. And of course, we are looking at will probably be the second massive blockchain use case, which is the photosynthesis approach to TLS, which will probably dwarf cryptocurrency if that's how it turns out. All right. So next on the list, OT attacks. Mm. Attacks against operational technology. I think there's one obvious example, which is Venezuela.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Where the power grid went off at just exactly the right moment.
We snuck it in, Tim.
Right? Snuck it in. It actually happened. It actually happened on January 3rd. It didn't occur in 2025, but I don't know if there were others. There may have been. Definitely that one was huge news.
I would have to say that with the war in Eastern Europe that's going on, I think we have to include that as well throughout 2025. Yeah. So the answer is yes.
And that's been Russia's playbook forever. Yeah. I mean, that goes all the way back to Georgia. When they shut down the power grid, and that was certainly an action. So yeah,
I'll even give us another one, Tim, which I think when it might have been early 2025, but other versions of it happen in 2025 is in Iran, right? Mm. I mean,
yeah,
I hate to go always nation state specific in some of these podcasts. It's not our style, but these things have been happening.
Those have been, but if you think about it, like OT attacks. Unless it's a ransomware kind of scenario, really are going to be nation state actions.
Or terrorist
actions, one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? This isn't going to be script kiddies. This isn't even going to be big fraud organizations. They don't make any money by doing these kinds of things. Yeah. This is nation state.
Yeah, for sure. It's somebody who has something to gain other than some money. Yeah. All right. 15, this one definitely we have, a tightening up of the web PKI. And that was, again, maybe not a terribly ambitious prediction considering seeing where the wind was blowing. Yeah. But the wind did keep blowing that direction. And we've seen increasing rules, both in the root programs and the cab form rules, to tighten what CAs do, but also connected to that, much more scrutiny and expectation that they'll actually do it correctly. And, I think I've talked in previous episodes, especially the Bugzilla Bloodbaths ones, about how for a long time, we kind of had the close enough attitude, right? And if a CA didn't quite follow all the rules, but they seemed to be in the ballpark, we'd say, close enough. And I've talked about why that's problematic. And we're really seeing that kind of thing going away, where clear, well-articulated rules that everyone's able to follow and then they're expected to follow. 25 was a big year for that. And part of what we also said is there will be distrust events, but there will not be any kind of wholesale house cleaning of CAs. And I think that one is exactly right, too. There were two distrusted CAs distrusted in 2025. And I think you and I predicted that there would be continue to be a slow pace of distrust in 2026. And if that didn't make its way into our predictions, then I'll just make that prediction now. But we did not see a giant, massive, you know, machine gunning of 20 CAs or anything like that. I don't think we'll see that this year either.
I think that the tolerance for delayed revocation
is gone.
Absolutely happened.
Yes.
Right. And that
was a big one.
Clear. That was big.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that the literally, you know, Chrome 1.6, which came out in February, which, you know, less than 60 days when we said those words, was a really good example of another type of tightening.
Yeah.
And so the rate of change of the tightening and changes is gone way up.
Absolutely. Just 25 and a little bit of the years before that, but 25 in particular is a big year in terms of really seeing the CAs becoming much more, I don't know if aggressive is the right word, but proactive and exacting, not the CA, sorry, the ROOP programs, becoming much more proactive and exacting in terms of what they expect from CAs. And I actually don't think that's done. I think we're going to continue to see that trend.
There we go.
All right. So the next one, number 16, we will give up on the concept of believing in the veracity of so-called recordings absent independent conversation. I think that's a big yes.
I think, Tim, that people are at the point right now.
Right. With it,
let's say by the end of 2025, AI slop as a term is something that, like, there's not a single person who isn't aware of. Most of this isn't real.
Absolutely. And I don't think I'm not sure I had heard that term at all a year ago. Right. And yeah, absolutely. When you can get a free thing on your phone where you can take a picture, write a prompt, and it will turn it into an animation of what appears to be you doing a thing you never did. How could it not be widely understood that all of these things that look like photos or videos just aren't necessarily real?
Between Google's VO3 to OpenAI's Sora, which are literally in children's pockets right now.
Yep.
Those are just a couple of examples of hundreds of different tools that are available to everyone to mass produce AI slop.
Yeah, and a year ago, I think most people didn't understand this point, right? I think that was a big change in 2025. And of course, the interesting thing, you talk about these things being in children's pockets. You got to imagine a term you used sometime within the last year that you talked about, AI natives, being people who are young enough that there was always AI from the time they were old enough to use computers or our digital devices. My children are both AI natives. How AI natives are just going to have a completely different attitude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
About these things. Wouldn't even occur to them for a second.
Tim, I'll give you two more.
This must be gospel. Yes.
AI natives is maybe the biggest example. The fact that that even exists is an example.
Yeah.
I would now say that we now have examples of music completely generated by a computer that has hit the charts.
Absolutely. Good music. Not bad music. Music you can listen to and like. Yeah.
You even now have Hollywood studios offering money to AI-based actors officially.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Tim, we're fully...
AI-based actors and online personalities and influencers that it comes to light that they were AI generated and nobody knew it.
Yeah.
They thought it was a real person. Yeah. All of this stuff happened in 2025, which makes you wonder what's coming next.
God, I don't know.
I don't either. Okay. 17. certificate automation and certificate agility becomes a de facto boardroom topic. And we went more specific, and we said that the majority of enterprises, you know, medium to large enterprises, will either have this as a topic or will have this as a solved issue. I think 100%.
I can tell you that behind the scenes, I've spoken to people who monitor this at, you know, not just us in our own business, but others who monitor this very closely have said that, for example, the ratio of talk of MFA, which was much bigger end of 2024, to certificate lifecycle management, as very specifically, that within 2025 completely flipped towards certificate lifecycle management being on a major topic for everybody. I wouldn't say it's 100%, but it is. I think that the trend flips so hard in 2025. Yeah. I think we got to give ourselves the check there.
Yeah, I think it's not only the majority. I think it's the resounding majority, right? The clear majority. All right. I don't think this happened for the next one, but I'll say what it was. Number 18, we predicted the emergence of a bona fide namespace management category. I know there are technology providers in the space, one of whom we had on our podcast probably within the last year and a half. But I don't feel like we've really seen sort of a strong category. I don't see a hype cycle. I don't see a lot of discussion about it as a category. They feel it more as like it's some point products.
You know, Tim, MPIC happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that AI kept everybody's attention on something else. Mm-hmm. This problem is still out there.
Yeah.
And so therefore this kind of surprises me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it didn't happen. But you're right, it didn't. But the problem is still there.
I think we predicted it, one, because we're very cognizant of the problem. And we saw sort of an increasing understanding more generally about the problem and very good technology solutions.
Yeah.
It's a very solvable problem from a technology perspective. There's a lot of stuff you can do where you can build something automatic that will keep an eye on things and warn you and do all of this kind of stuff. It's very well suited for automation and scripting and the kind of thing that a traditional computer does very well. And so I think, therefore, we both expected more progress in that category than we saw.
Yep.
We think that changes in 26?
Oh, good question. honest to God, I think it'll have to, Tim. Otherwise, it'll be such a...
If it doesn't, it'll just become like this big hole, right? At least for the very large enterprise. I mean, I can see when you get down market, this not being important, but in a large enterprise, in a major global financial institution, how do you continue to ignore this?
You know how a lot of people have said they weren't going to allow security to be an afterthought?
Mm-hmm.
My God, security is an afterthought in so many things that we're doing right now.
Absolutely. 100%. All right. So that's an X. Vendor assessments. Here's the next one I wrote. You know, this is my bugbear, right? This is my personal hobgoblin. Vendor assessments are ubiquitous. And here's what we said. They would be longer, more detailed, more exacting. And that, unfortunately, though the market needs it, we would not have a standardized way to do this. And I described what that looks like, what I'd like to see. I'm going to say 100% big, giant green check mark on this one, right? It's so much just in the last year. They're absolutely ubiquitous. They are longer. They are more exhausting. They are more detailed. If you think they can't conceivably get more detailed, you're so utterly wrong. They're expanding into new market spaces. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff about AI and how you're using AI, right?
Yeah.
None of that was in vendor assessments a year ago.
Yeah.
And this whole supply chain focus. And then the other thing that we have talked about recently on this episode is that there is emerging, I would say emerging is probably the best word for it, not emerged, but emerging very specific regulatory requirements around supply chain due diligence. That absolutely wasn't true a year ago.
Yeah, that is right? Absolutely true.
Where now it's like, I have to do this. I've got regs that I'm beholden to that say that I must examine my supply chain, and here's how I must. Right?
Got the check, Tim.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think that's over, by the way. I think we're going to see them coming up with even more ways to ask even more questions and to stick the flashlight even deeper into uncomfortable parts of my body. But I will say what we didn't see at all in 25 and we predicted, I don't think we're going to see it in 26 either. I'm going to be clear on that. But I think we desperately need it is standardization around this. There's no good reason why I couldn't answer the same 1,000 questions, have them once, publish them in a trust center, point everybody in my trust center, and get on with my life.
This is the only way it's going to scale, too.
Right. Yep. But that still doesn't exist.
Yep.
All right. And a lot of it is I just don't know what the forcing function would be to make it exist. All right. So we're getting close to the end. Number 20 of 21. PKI is mostly unaffected by AI, we said. And then we went into a little more detail on this. One of the things we did caveat that a little is to say, absolutely, agentic AI can be helpful with the first and the last mile problems around PKI.
Yeah. Yep.
And then also how AI could be part of orchestrating or conceiving or orchestrating offensive attacks against PKI. I think I stand by this, that PKI has been one of the least affected categories in technology by the mushrooming of AI in the last 2 years.
This might come as a surprise to people, but PKI is incredibly procedural and therefore doesn't need a computer to guess at the next token of something. Yeah. It just doesn't apply.
In fact, guessing is suicide. You can't guess. You have to do the specific thing and you have to get it right to an extreme level of specificity, right? Flip a single bit and you fail. And so that's not at all the good use case for AI. It's kind of the bad use case for AI.
So I give ourselves the check there, Tim, but I don't agree. Think that it is universally understood as the reasons why.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last one is kind of a slam dunky one. And it's also Tim's other hobby horse. And it's the thing I say every year, which is government versus the internet.
Yeah.
And government versus the internet just kept right on going. It's going to be true in 26, going to be true in 27. Probably will be true when we're both retired.
Oh, yeah.
Government versus the internet. Absolutely, governments want to control tech, want to control the internet, don't recognize that they can't, don't recognize that genies can't go in bottles, don't recognize that the internet's bigger than their own borders, and they just continue once again to make the same mistake over and over again.
First email of the day today, Tim, was a journalist asking questions about how Microsoft is going to be freely giving BitLocker keys to the government whenever they ask. And Microsoft's just like, yeah, we're going to do that. So we're just letting everybody know.
Yeah.
And so it goes on and on and on. And as you say, there's just no ends to this topic. And we should cover it more in 2026, Tim.
I think so. I think we should. I don't think we hit the topic a lot in 25 because there weren't big headlines, but it is definitely a thing that continues. Absolutely. All right, well, that's it. I think if you look over the whole thing, we actually did pretty well. We didn't get 100%, but we probably got 75% or more. So pretty good. Listen to us.
Ready to go, Tim. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dave. This has been Rick Costas.